I guess I'll ask a question in two parts. First of all, brother, is the principle you've discussed today a matter that will affect a man's salvation? For instance, if a man communes scripturally, or a congregation communes scripturally, but refers to the Lord's Supper as the Eucharist or some other term that is not biblical, will that affect their faithfulness to God?
Well, I always hate to say yes, a person saved or lost in any situation. This is one of those kind of situations. I don't see how you can continue to be faithful to God if you are mislabeling or misapplying what the Scripture says or teaches. And I think this winds up being a salvation issue because, as I say, a lot of these things, they either indicate that we've already changed or they indicate that we are changing. And if we've not left the truth by using these terminologies, generally, many times we do.
Appreciate that answer. That speaks to an issue. I've heard many people say that as long as a church worships scripturally, it doesn't matter what name the church wears. And I had one brother tell me that he thinks if a church worshiped scripturally and taught the truth, even if it called itself a Catholic church or something of that order, that it would be acceptable in God's sight. So I want to ask you the question, you did not address this in your lesson, but does the Bible present a name, a scriptural name, for the church to wear? And what are some examples of ways in which people could depart from that?
Well, I believe the Church of Christ is the simplest and easiest way to state it. The Bible does identify names for the church in the New Testament, the Church of the Firstborn, the Church of God, which is purchased with His own blood, the Church of Christ. Those are all titles that refer to the fact that the church belongs to Christ. It is His. It is simplest and easiest simply to call it the Church of Christ. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you're not going to call it by a scriptural name, you might as well call it Hank's Oil Change and Mini Lube. It just doesn't make any difference. If you're not going to call it what the Scripture says, then it doesn't make any difference what you call it, because you'll not have the authority of heaven behind your name and behind what you're doing.
Any questions? Billy Dickens.
Don't you think, Bruce, that this would enter into it? We believe in verbal inspiration, which means that God gave those men the exact words that they were to speak. And I believe Paul really demonstrates that in 1 Corinthians 2, where he says that he matched up spiritual things with spiritual words. So those were the actual words of the Holy Spirit to express spiritual truths. So why would we want to use language, you know, that the Holy Spirit didn't use? And if something is a scriptural practice and is taught and authorized in the Word of God, surely we ought to be able to find some kind of word or expression or something, you know, that would explain what it is. If we've got a coin, a phrase that's nowhere in the Word of God to describe something, then that demonstrates right there, evidently it's not in the Word of God.
I think that's right. I agree. We do believe in verbal inspiration. I believe in verbal inspiration. I think that's exactly right. It was revealed by God specifically. We're able to read the Scriptures and understand them. Therefore, we should be able to speak that language and be able to use those words that the Lord used.
Other questions? Ask one more. On the subject of the name of the church, I'd like to ask you to comment on a passage of Scripture and let me know if it is a misuse of this verse to teach that there is a particular name or kind of name given from heaven for the church. And that is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I've heard it applied this way by preachers past. The apostle says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're named after Jesus, or that Jesus, what does it mean?
I think it denotes named by, if you will. I think those names are identified in the New Testament, the church, the firstborn, the church of Christ. I think those are named by God as possessive terms.
Well, if that's true, then that, you know, that does indicate that we don't have the liberty to come up with any name we want. And it's a practice that's becoming increasingly common for people to choose outlandish names to try to give their church some uniqueness, like Grace Family Church or something of that nature. And I guess they think it's okay if they parenthetically say a Church of Christ underneath it. And even that, though, seems to me to be an embellishment. You know, it's not calling Bible things by Bible names. Why don't we just stick with the name that was given from God?
I'll say this, you know what, that changing of names that we're seeing more and more of these days, there are two things I want to say about that. First of all is, in my estimation, a few years ago I started noticing that, and noticing in things that this may identify me as an alarmist. And if it does, then just my nature. I began to be concerned when I saw brethren talk about things or write cards or make cards talk about the church with a little C. I thought, well, lowercase c, you're de-emphasizing the church. And then when I started to hear brethren who, instead of wanting to talk about the church, want to talk about our family, our Christian family, our family, not the church, but our family. And now we're seeing where we just want to change the name and call it something else. I don't see what's so wrong with simply calling it what the Bible calls it. And that is the church. The epistles were addressed to the churches, were not addressed to the Christian family. It was addressed to the church. Nothing wrong with calling it the Church of Christ. Nothing wrong with labeling just the church. The other thing about that that concerns me is usually by the time, in the instances that I personally know of where our brethren have changed the name to something else, usually by the time they've changed the name, they've already changed the doctrine. Their heart is somewhere else. Their ideology is somewhere else. And therefore, the result is they begin to change how they worship. They begin to change what they teach. They begin to change what they believe. And changing their name is just finally an act that indicated symptoms, or rather it's indicated by the symptoms we've already seen sometimes for a couple of years. And I think really it's just part of a change in some brethren who don't want what the Bible says, who don't want what we've always preached and believed in. And the result is this is just a process of change from being the Lord's church to being a community church.
Anything else in closing?
I appreciate each and every one of you. I thank you for this opportunity. And I hope we've said something tonight that'll help you in some way.